Our Lord and Father, we pause with gratitude this morning again. You have called us together in this way, in this time, and with these people to worship and honor you. We thank you for the blessings we received from your word this morning. Father, we also want to thank you for the blessing it will be to hear your word preached. We pray for Brother Conrad as he ministers to us. May you speak to him and bless his ministry here. Open our hearts to receive your message for us. And thank you, too, for answered prayers on different fronts. Think especially of the word that we received, that Caleb Yoder's mass of the Admiral Mass does not seem to be serious, but we continue to lift him and his parents and the family to you, trusting you to do your work for the work that you want to accomplish through these circumstances. Lord, we also pray for the revival meetings that we look forward to in a number of weeks. Pray that you would open our hearts, soften our hearts to receive your word as well through those. Bless Brother Laban in his preparations as he prepares to come. Thank you for the opportunity of sharing what you provided for us financially. We pray your blessing on the relief work of MCC and for the work of OVM, that your kingdom can be advanced through both fronts. Again, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to greet each one of you in Jesus' name here this morning. I've enjoyed the service here, and it's been a challenge as I walk the walk, I guess, as I learn to know the Lord better. The subject that I'd like to speak about this morning is one that has been a challenge to me in recent times. I've been going through for the Sermon on the Mount and some of my sermons at Arlington. And there's one subject that has come up in Matthew chapter 6 that has been a challenge to me, and that is the subject of being real. Are we really what God wants us to be? Are we clean on the outside and the inside? Are we really what people perceive us to be? And I don't think this is this isn't a new problem. It's something all of us face. And the reason I'm speaking to you about it this morning is not that I see a need here, but it's something that has been a burden on my own life and felt like maybe you can be blessed with them as well. There's a scripture, I think it's well known to us, in Matthew 23 that talks to the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, and tells them how they can look so good on the outside, but actually they're full of dead men's bones. And for us, it's a challenge to live like we should. It's a challenge for us to not only look good, which we tend to want to do, but it's a challenge to be on the inside what we really should be. I'd like for you to turn to Matthew 6 at this time. The subject that we have numerous subjects here, but it talks about three things, that how we should be, and I think it has a lot to do with how we are on the inside. Now, a little bit of a crude illustration maybe, but in the springtime, we enjoy raising chickens, raising fryers. And one of the things we've discovered is at times when we go to butchering these chickens, that the chickens aren't as good on the inside as they would tend to look on the outside. And when you butcher them, you will find problems that will render the chicken useless in eating. And I know that's a rather crude illustration, but I think we'd like to look pretty good on the outside, but inside at times we're pretty filthy, we're pretty dirty, and I don't think that honors the Lord. The three subjects that are addressed here talk about our giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. And I find it interesting that on these three subjects, it doesn't say if you give, or if you pray, or if you fast. And I think all three instances, it talks about when we give, when we pray, and when we fast, and how it should be done. They were doing these things, but the purpose for them doing some of these things, or what Jesus was speaking about, was what the problem was. It was the motivation behind how they were doing things. I think it's sometimes good for us just to look at our motivations, seeing if we're connected as we should be. I think we'll read the first 18 verses of Matthew chapter 6. It says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Let thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Here we have these three subjects. The first number of verses 1 through 4, talk about giving to the needy. I think it's something that all of us do. There are times, as you shared this morning, for example, each week you're reminded of your opportunities to give to those. And it says, again, reminding that it's when you help those in need. It's not if you help those in need. I think it's important that we help those who have needs around us. Why do we give to those in need? I think there's several things that why we give. The purpose of giving is to show thankfulness for what we have. This morning in testimony time, there was numerous references to being thankful for what the Lord has given to us, of what we're able to have with our health. We also give to point people to God, and we also give to be God's instrument for others in prayer. We give because we want to give. We give so that the Lord's name could be honored and glorified. One of the things that I have thought about, you know, as a brotherhood, there's always needs among us. The Lord has commanded us to give, and probably, I don't know which you find it the easiest to do, but when we give, somebody needs to receive. And this can affect many aspects of our life. But as a brotherhood, we need to both give and to receive, depending on what our needs are. And I think that can be a blessing as a brotherhood that we can give. We also see in here the blessings that God will give for those who do things not to be seen of men. Our tendency is to do things to be seen, just to be seen of men, but our desire should be so that God could be honored and glorified rather than we being glorified. We give because we want to bring other people to the Lord. The Lord will bless even though we do things in secret. The Lord knows our giving. He knows our generosity. One of the things that I find interesting in Scripture is that when we give and are generous to other people, that generosity often comes back to us. When we are tight-fisted, I'm reminded that usually that's how other people will treat us. And that is brought out in Scripture, that if we are generous with other people in need, we will actually end up having more. And I think that's one of God's blessed principles. I was reminded a bit about receiving more than we give. The other day I found something along the road that I thought would be worth keeping. I stopped to pick it up. Initially I was a bit disappointed that I figured out who the owner was because of the item beside the road, and I returned that, kind of wishing I could have kept that item. But it wasn't but a week or two later that somebody returned an item that I had lost that was of more value than what I picked up beside the road. And I think maybe that there was a reason for that. Maybe God has a way of reminding us. But back to the Scripture here. In Proverbs 28, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Proverbs 22:9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Here I think is some basic Bible principles, is that when we give to those who are poor, we end up with more ourselves. And I appreciate that principle that we have. Another reminder that we have here in Scripture, and especially I think of in Luke 14, we give not to get anything in return. The Lord will bless, but we don't give to get something in return. I know the tendency is to give to those who will give something back, but the Lord is asking us for a higher calling than that. Let us give generously to those who cannot return anything. Those are just a few thoughts to the first four verses. Now as we look at the next section that we have about prayer, and this is verses 5 through 15. I'm always challenged by thoughts on prayer. Prayer is one of those things that it seems like we can never quite do enough of. And I find it a constant challenge to pray as I ought. Several thoughts about prayer is prayer and helplessness are inseparable. When we realize how helpless we are, then is when God can work. There's times when things feel out of control. I think especially of health issues. Things seem out of control. It seems like then is when we call on God very diligently. But that's when God can work in our lives. As I've seen close friends who've suffered, it has made me more aware of how I need to pray. We need to pray diligently. Prayer is surrendering our will to God. You know, it's not like we pray and if we diligently pray, we will convince God to do what we think is best. But praying is understanding what God would have for us and finding out what His will. It's maybe a little bit like being in a boat and trying to pull the shore toward us. Or maybe trying to actually pulling God's will to mine, or my will to God's will, and finding out what He wants for me. I should just read how it says here. Surrender to the will of God in cooperation with that will. If I throw out a boat hook from a boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore toward me or do I pull myself toward shore? Prayer is not pulling my will, is not pulling God to my will, but aligning of my will to the will of God. Prayer is surrender. Prayer is helplessness. Prayer is important to us, not only in realizing how big we are, but in realizing how big God is. And we have this, as we look at this scripture here in these verses, He exhorts us to pray, not as prayer that would bring glory and honor to ourselves in eloquent prayer, but I think the kind of prayer that we do in our closets, the prayer that we do when we're sincere about seeking God's will. I don't think that says we need to have sloppy public prayers, but I think we need to, once we learn how to pray in the closet, then we can pray in public. God gives prayer. God gives power to us when we pray. I find it interesting that numerous times when Jesus was meeting the needs of people, was healing people, He removed most of the people from the room and did it in the private of that. Maybe that, and also we know that He resorted to the mountains to pray, to the wilderness to pray. I think that's a good example for us. How often does God want us to pray, or does He want us to ask Him? In verse 7, it talks, in Matthew 7:7, chapter later, it says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God." God knows what we have need of. He knows our needs. He knows where we're at. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. One of the things that amazes me is that God knows our thoughts, whether we can verbalize them, and He knows our thoughts before we can think of them. We're not telling God anything new, but I think God wants us to exercise in asking Him. He wants us to understand our helplessness. Isaiah 65:24 brings that out. It says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I'm just blessed by how God can answer prayers in such greater ways than we can imagine. I know there's times when I felt like I had an answer, as if God would just get it to go that way, that would be the real answer. But that's limiting God. God has such greater answers, better than any of us can imagine. And I've been blessed numerous times on how He answers prayer and how it's greater. We also have the example here in the Lord's Prayer. Several of the things that are important here in how we should pray. And I think this prayer brings out humility in the Lord meeting those needs. It talks about our Father which art in heaven. I think that phrase tells us a lot. It talks, the word Father talks about refers to somebody who is has respect, has love for the children. I think it also speaks of love and respect from the children to the father. How do we look at our Father which is in heaven? It seems to speak, these verses seem to speak of his majesty, his dominion, his power, his might, his omnipresence, and his omniscience. Who is God? How great is he? Do we limit him for who he is? Do we put him in this small box that's a lot smaller than he is? God is so great, and yet it seems like we limit him so many times. As we go on down through that, just moving fairly quickly, I realize that a person could take many sermons for these scriptures here, but I chose to do more of an overview today. But we see here a part of this is, give us this day our daily bread. Give us our needs each day. Our wants are not guaranteed, but our needs are. God will meet our needs each day. It says, give us this day. It doesn't say meet our needs tomorrow. It says meet our needs today. God can meet those needs. One of the things that I find interesting in this prayer that comes up several times is the importance of forgiveness. How important is forgiveness in our lives or in our prayer life? As we have this subject here in these verses. Is forgiveness so important? I think that we have a number of principles here. When we talk about forgiveness, well, it mentions several of these. First of all, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, how much have we been forgiven? I think we all recognize that we have been forgiven much. And how quickly do we forgive others who have crossed our paths? I wish sometimes that I could be perfect and that I would never need to apologize for making a mistake, making an error, that I would never have done anything wrong and therefore would never need to apologize, would never need to ask forgiveness. But you know, I've come to realize that I think it's important that we're not perfect. Just for that reason alone. There is something that it does to a person to have to come to say and say, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And I think that helps us maybe understand a little bit, just a little bit, of how much we were forgiven. If we would not have that privilege, I don't think it would be good for us. And I have to admit, it's still difficult for me to come to that point, to admit forgiveness. I think as humans, we like to think we're right and we don't do anything wrong and we don't make mistakes or it's not that serious. And we can reason things out, and it may take a long time before we're ready to give up. But I think it's important that we forgive. When somebody comes to us asking for forgiveness, they need to hear those words, I forgive you. They don't need to hear, oh, that's all right, that's okay, that's, I didn't even think about it. You know, they need to hear, I am forgiven. And they need to hear that quickly. I know there was I was in a situation once where a person was seeking forgiveness, where I actually didn't feel they were in the wrong. And I'm not sure if they wanted, the persons had a very intense desire to hear those words, you are forgiven. It didn't make much else. The rest of the conversation didn't seem to carry much weight. But they wanted to hear those words. And I was willing to let those words be heard. But that's important, is that they hear those words. let us be quick to forgive our brother. Why do we want to forgive? So that the Lord will hear our prayers. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Verse 13 talks about leading us into temptation but delivering us from evil. The kind of the closing of the Lord's Prayer here. Will the Lord help us out? You know, we're all tempted. It doesn't matter who you are, there are times when you are tempted to do things, to think things that are not right. And the temptations you face are not ones that are unusual to yourself. But all of us have temptations that that your brother has also faced. And we should be reminded that we are human, that this is nothing unusual. But we are also promised that God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us that God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And I'm glad that can help us out. If we turn over to Him, He will help us have victory over those temptations. Let's not allow those temptations to take root in our thoughts and in our life. If they become a thought, or they may become a thought, but if we let them do any more than that, they will take root and can be deadly to us. Let's make sure that they don't take root. We need, as far as resisting temptation, we have several guidelines. One, of course, is praying. We also have scripture that would talk about fleeing temptation. And let's remember that our relationship with Christ sin alienates our relationship with Christ. If we want to have that relationship with Him, we need to get rid of that sin. And that sin will not only hurt us, but it will hurt our brothers as well. As a brotherhood, as a congregation, it's important that we realize the significance of sin and how it affects all of us. And I'm glad that we have a brotherhood that can help us have victory and influence us in ways that are helpful. One of the things that I think it's important as we look at the law of sowing and reaping is that we reap what we sow, and we reap more than we sow. But I'm glad the Lord is here to help us. If we sow what we should, the Lord can give us many things. He can bless us. But we also know that if we sow bad, we will suffer for it. But the Lord is here to help. We don't do anything of our own strength, but we do it out of God's strength for us. Do we realize God's power to help us in those times when we face those temptations? God is there to help each one of us. There's more things that could be said about prayer, but I find it a challenge in my own personal life to spend that time realizing what He can do in that way. The last subject that we have mentioned here, verses 16 through 18, is fasting. Fasting is a subject that we don't do a lot of, or at least I haven't done as much as I could have. But I find it interesting that fasting was important. I think they fasted typically on Thursdays. They did it every week, or at least some of them did. And for some of it was important to let everybody know that they were fasting. And I think he reminds us here, Jesus' words remind us that it's good to fast, not to be seen of men. But in recent times, I've been impressed by the need to fast and also by the testimony of others who have fasted and the results that it has brought. It's been a number of months ago I was talking with a fellow who was from out of state. And there was a need in that family's life and their some relationships in their family. And there were three brothers that regularly fasted on a certain day. And in less than 3 months, he testified to the how the Lord answered their prayers in a way that was more than they expected. And I was just blessed by how three brothers who were from various states could share, and the Lord blessed from their fasting. He felt it was directly related to their fasting. Fasting is something that can be done of our own or it can be in groups. When there are needs among us, let us fast. I know there's times in my life as I looked at major decisions, I was blessed with how the Lord showed clearly what seemed difficult. I think when we seek the Lord diligently, He will answer in a very real way. I'm convinced of that with what I've seen. And I would challenge you to use that as a way of meeting the Lord and seeing what He has for you. As we look at a little bit of an overview of these scriptures, are you real? As you looked at some of these things, do you do things to be seen of men, or do you do these things because of close relationship with the Lord? I've been challenged in my own life to not do things to be seen of men, but to do things because I love the Lord. And when we do that, I think the Lord can bless. Are you real? Are you really what you want people to think you are? Are you satisfied with where you're at in these three areas? Are you genuine? Are we really all that we can be for the Lord? Or do we see areas where the Lord has shown us that we're not sensitive to the needs of others? Maybe we don't help those who are in need, whether it be by prayer or other means. Maybe we don't spend enough time with the Lord in our prayer life. Maybe we haven't fasted as we should. But I've been challenged in these three areas in my own life, and I trust that as you've looked at these scriptures, that the Lord can show you where you can be drawn closer to Him. Let us kneel for prayer. Lord, I just thank You for the scripture that You've given to us here on the Sermon on the Mount. Lord, help us to be the kind of people that You want us to be. Lord, help us to give to the needy as You want us to give. Help us to pray as You want us to pray and fast. Lord, I just pray that You would continue to work in my life in these areas. Help me to be the kind of person that You want me to be. Help me not to be so concerned about what other people think, but help me to be concerned about what You think and what You would have for me. Help me just to focus more on You. Lord, may Your word speak to our needs. And may You bless. In Jesus' name, amen.